Can we bow before the Lord, please? Our God, hallowed be thy name. O God, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in my life, in my family's life, in our lives here tonight, here on earth, as it is in heaven, no less. Come, Father, glorify, magnify thy name and the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, in this meeting tonight. Take the hardest heart, the most closed mind, and break it totally, forever. Visit us, wash me in the blood of God, the Son, who tasted death for every man, that we may inherit eternal life and pardon and forgiveness from God the Father. Have mercy. Fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit and anoint my lips, my mind, and every faculty of my being. Sanctify the very atmosphere of this building by the risen, resurrected power of Christ, the Holy Spirit. Let the angels of God surround this building with swords drawn to do battle against the powers of darkness, and they're there, trembling at anyone who wants God to speak to them and give revelation to their hearts through the preached word. Come now, protect us from all the powers of hell and darkness that hate thee with a perfect hatred. Protect us from any movement or noises that could be avoided by anyone who had any iota of respect to thy word. Come visit us now by the Holy Spirit, in Jesus the Christ's name, in Jesus the Christ's name, for his glory only, in faith, amen. Satan's servants. Satan's servants. In God's pulpit. Satan's servants. In God's pulpits. 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, was Satan himself, also is transformed into an angel of light. No marvel, for Satan himself also is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end
whose end shall be according to their works. Whose end shall be according to their works. Jesus warned us in Matthew 7 verse 15, beware, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. In thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Peter also warns us in 2 Peter 2 verse 1 that there shall be false teachers among you. There shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. There shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. While they offer others deliverance through their preaching and freedom, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. He's enslaved to. Romans 6 verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant ye are to whom ye obey. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. There shall be false teachers among you. There shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Damnable heresies. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Don't be gullible, but try the spirits. Put them to the test. Put them to the test. because many false prophets are gone out into the world. In Matthew 24, verse 11, Jesus warned us that in the last days there are many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Many, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Now this particular statement in its context is staggering, because it says clearly, this word many, the most, the masses, many false prophets shall rise in the last days, Christ warned, and shall deceive the most. The masses who gather under the banner of Christianity worldwide will be deceived by erroneous, heretical preachers who hold this book in their hands but reject its contents in truth in their hearts. But they stand there, transforming themselves as if they faithfully are the apostles of Christ, but they are Satan's servants in what is referred to as God's pulpits worldwide. Second Timothy 4 verse 3, for the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine. The time will come, God warns, that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. The time will come, God promises, God warns, when they will not endure sound doctrine. They'll fire you, preacher! The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, their own sensual, carnal desires, even in their religion. After their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers. There won't just be a few ordained in the pulpits across the known church, the acknowledged banner of Christianity worldwide. Many, Christ says, false prophets shall rise. Oh, after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, who will preach just what they want of Christianity. Don't offend us, sir, or you're out. Who will preach just what they want Christianity to be. So they ordain these many liars. Isaiah 30 verse 10, which say to the seers, see not! He that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Jeremiah 9. Verse 9, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables, to lies, preached by liars, in pulpits across the world under the banner of Christianity. Beloved, while we may still unanimously reject the major heretical movements who dare to function under the banner of Christianity. Such as the Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons, Freemasonry, etc. While we may still unanimously reject the major heretical movements who dare to function under the banner of Christianity, the list of erroneous heretical preachers and movements today has suddenly become far more complex. The list of erroneous heretical movements and preachers has suddenly become far more complex and far more dangerous in these last days, to such a degree that we dare not remain silent. For the masses who gather under the banner of Christianity worldwide will face eternal damnation if we do. The masses who gather under the banner of Christianity worldwide will face eternal damnation if we do. Beloved, the moment any preacher or theologian in any pulpit under the banner of Christianity, the moment any preacher or theologian in any pulpit under the banner of Christianity attacks or undermines or rejects the contents of this holy book, from Genesis 1 verse 1 to Revelation 21 verse 21, he exposes himself as an enemy of God. He exposes himself as an enemy of God and a false prophet. The moment any preacher or theologian in any pulpit worldwide under the banner of Christianity attacks or undermines or rejects the contents of this holy book from Genesis 1 verse 1 to Revelation 21 verse 21, he exposes himself as an enemy of God and a false prophet. Ordained preachers in many historically fundamental denominations. Ordained preachers in many historically fundamental denominations are suddenly crying out from pulpits across the world, fearlessly, that all religions lead to the same God. You lie, sir. You are a false prophet. You are an enemy of God. For you challenge Christ himself, sir. You challenge Christ himself and the authority of this holy book in doing so. Jesus said in John 14 verse 6, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5. For there is one God. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Acts 4 verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John 10 verse 9. I am the door. I am the door. By me If any man enter in, he shall be saved. John 10 verse 1, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. God will reject him. Galatians 1 verse 9. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Is that unloving? Sorry, a God of love says it, not me. Don't you challenge me, sir. You challenge God when you reject this book. If any man, preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Be he an archbishop or a professor of theology, let him be cursed. God says, and I'd like you to pray whether he would say it any different, with a smile on his face, that he doesn't mean it. I ask that of the hypocrites who handle God's word or listen to it, no one else. Let him be accursed. Beloved, open war has been declared against this book worldwide. Open war has been declared against this book worldwide in the most uncomprehendable way. For not only do governments of godless societies outlaw many of the passages and charge those who dare publicly to declare those passages with hate speech, which is a criminal offense in which men are jailed in even one country on this continent. Not only do governments of godless societies outlaw, reject this holy book and many of its passages. If any man dares to preach those passages publicly, he is charged with a criminal offense. And let me tell you something. That's just the beginning. Watch what they outlaw as hate speech of anything God forbids or condemns. Soon, you prime ministers, you fight God. But more outrageous to me and uncomprehendable is thousands upon thousands of preachers standing in pulpits under the banner of Christianity worldwide also reject those passages, undermine them, outlaw them from their pulpits. The only thou shalt not they will allow in their pulpit is thou shalt not name any sin God names. Thou shalt not name the sins God names. Thou shalt not condemn the sinners, the unrepentant sinners who will go on with the sins God condemns them for eternally. Thou shalt not do that here. They fight to ordain men who openly live in defiance of God's word, to give them the right to stand with God's word, to give them some form of authority while they reject the content totally in their hearts. And publicly they're doing it. The world is in such a shambles.
The church is in such a shambles. That's why the world's what they are. They fight now to ordain men who openly live in defiance of God's words, defying His commandments. They want to ordain and give them the right to stand under the banner of Christianity, representing God's word and God Himself. When they do, Romans 1 verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. It seems was written also for the church leaders of this day and age. And so, tonight, we have seen that in pulpits across the world under the banner of Christianity there are tragically those rejecting the authority of this holy book. There are tragically those in pulpits across the world under the banner of Christianity openly, defiantly, brazenly, fearlessly. We have seen there are those rejecting the authority of this holy book. But wait now. There are also those replacing the authority of this holy book. Today a great sector of the masses who gather under the banner of Christianity worldwide. Today a great sector of the masses who gather under the banner of Christianity worldwide, it seems, will accept any preacher who claims prophetic revelations through various manifestations in his life. Today a great sector of the masses who gather under the banner of Christianity worldwide, it seems, will accept any preacher who claims prophetic revelations through various manifestations in his life. In spite of God's warnings throughout the whole Bible, in spite of God's warnings throughout the whole Bible to beware of false prophets. In Jeremiah 23 verse 21, God warned His people, I have not sent these prophets. I have not sent these prophets. Yet they ran. I have not spoken to them. Yet they prophesied. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. Jeremiah 9 verse 5. Jeremiah 23 verse 25. I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name. I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. The prophet that hath a dream let him tell a dream. But he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully.
What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? How can you compare straw with wheat, saith the Lord? How can you compare someone who comes to you with a dream or a vision with someone who comes with the declared word of God, saith the Lord? What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Hebrews 4 verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, God says. It cuts through a man's hardened conscience. No matter what the devil has done, and no matter how hard that conscience may be, it cuts through. Only the word of God does. Nothing but the word of God does. To expose his inner conscience and reveal to him the condemnation of God he faces, as he realizes how evil he is. Only God's word, by the law, is the knowledge of sin. The man who doesn't preach it is a liar in the pulpit of God. Get out of the pulpit, for God's sake, because everyone you preach to is going to hell. How can a man cry out for salvation if he doesn't know he's damned? You think love will do that, brother? Sorry, sir. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord? And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces, no matter how hard that rock is of a person's heart or conscience, there's nothing the devil has done that the uncompromising, fearless preaching of the word of God will undo in seconds to make him know he's in trouble for eternity. And tremble if it's preached properly. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged. Have you ever preached like that, sir? Or is there blood on your hands because you don't want to offend, even if they go to hell? It's the word that God wants us to preach and be faithful to. Oh, preachers. Preachers across the world today, I fearfully warn you, add thou not unto his words. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Proverbs 30 verse 6. Even if it's on the day of judgment. Many will say unto me in that day, will you be one of them, preacher? Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Will you be one of them? Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Beloved, the only safe prophetic revelation you will hear today is the revelation given in this book. The only safe prophetic revelation you will ever hear in this day and age and dispensation is the revelation
given in this book. As we meditate its contents, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life, God says. This book is dead alone. But the Holy Spirit will make it a revelation to your heart. You see, open my eyes. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. It's only the Holy Spirit that can do that. It's dead outside of the Holy Spirit. The revelation given of this given revelation. The prophetic revelation of the given revelation of this book is the only revelation you have the right to preach on. Don't add to it. Oh, you're in trouble, bro. You're in trouble. Prophecy today is the declaration and exposition of the given revelation of this book. Prophecy today in this dispensation is the declaration and exposition of the given revelation of this book. Otherwise, we have no protection or discernment against false prophets at all. Beware. Beware of preachers and movements who bury this book, who replace the authority of this book with further prophetic revelations through various manifestations in their lives. Beware of preachers and movements throughout this world, Church of Christ. Beware of these men and these movements who have replaced the preeminence and the authority of this holy book as the final declaration and revelation given by God to men, with further revelations through various manifestations in their lives. And while we're in this dangerous territory of the masses who gather under the banner of Christianity worldwide, while we're in this territory, I'm going to dare to say this to you. I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding in the church than 10,000 words of an unknown tongue, that by me men may learn the truth. I hope you do. Before we move further, let's go into really dangerous territory now of these same movements where the masses, the sector of the masses who gather under the banner of Christianity worldwide, God warns us, and we just touched it last night, of men destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, that you prosper if you are rightly related to God. You prosper financially. Come to God and you prosper. So men come to God to prosper. You heretic, you enemy of God. No man comes to God to prosper. You send him to hell if he comes to God with that prerequisite in his heart. That is not the truth. The mega churches today in this territory, it seems, one of their great doctrines and central doctrine in many cases is a cry, prosperity. get right with God through us, you will prosper. But let's look further what and why God says they'll do that. Why God says, from such withdraw thyself. 1 Timothy 6 verse 5. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment. With contentment. Be content with such things as ye have, God says. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That's gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich in religion, beginning at the man in the pulpit, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Spiritual destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evil, preachers who love it. What percentage of preachers in the pulpit for one reason? Money! Answer God if you're offended. Don't be angry with me. Answer God, I dare you just once in your life. What your heart knows. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, departed from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. That's not only Timothy, it's anyone who truly wants to be a man of God. Don't go near such movements. From such withdraw thyself, God says. From such withdraw thyself. Peter warns us in 2 Peter 2 verse 1 that there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. But now, I missed all that. Let's go into what those damnable heresies are. In its context, what he's warning us about. Verse 3, who through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Who through covetousness, that is their desire for personal wealth, shall they with feigned words, with deceptive teachings, make merchandise of you. They'll exploit you. They desire only to make money from you. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. How many preachers are in the pulpits under the banner of Christianity only to make money? If prosperity becomes a central part of any man's ministry, beware, because that means he also must prosper as your preacher, if it's truth what he's preaching. But watch now, and watch carefully, how he will soon prosper more than all of you. And they will prosper through those who embrace such corrupt, carnal, erroneous teaching so gullibly. Well, why do you think he preaches it? For you to prosper? Now we have seen, tragically, those rejecting the authority of this holy book. We have seen those replacing the authority, the preeminence and authority of this holy book. Those replacing. But finally, we need to look at those restraining, withholding the authority of this holy book out of fear of man. This one young man sitting here in the front gave me a verse in Dallas. Listen carefully. Jeremiah 48 verse 10, cursed
be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. I suppose that's the first part of the sermon. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Now, in its context, which you've got to always do, or you'll be branded a heretic. He is, of course, speaking about God's warnings to the people called by God in Israel to deal with the wicked Moab, the tribe of Moab. They were to destroy them and not hold back in cowardice of really dealing with the wickedness of this nation of Moab, or God would curse them. So I want to repeat that in its context, though, because I believe, without any doubt, and so does most of our major reformers and theologians who paved the way to what we embrace today as fundamental, uncompromising, they believe this was far more what God was saying here to all who serve him in his purposes. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. And cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. Oh, beloved. Ezekiel 33, verse 8. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak and warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand, preacher. His blood will I require at thine hand, Ezekiel. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Thou hast delivered thy soul, preacher. Men's blood won't be in your hands. Cursed, God says. Cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood, that stands deceitfully, knowing there's things here that he should be warning man of. Ye are not valiant for the truth, God cried out in anger. Who to? To the Levite priesthood, whom he had separated. For what? To faithfully declare and administer the commandments of God and the law of God, the Old Testament as it was revealed. From Phinehas, beginning with Aaron, down all in the Levite tribe, was separated by God and given this great honor. For one reason, to be faithful in declaring the commandments of God with no compromise, no hypocrisy, no liberals allowed in my work. But it came to the last book in the Bible, the Old Testament, where God angrily confronted these Levite priesthood, these compromising, liberal priests. He angrily confronted them, warning them of a curse upon them, warning them that he would curse them in a staggering way. Malachi 2 verse 4, and ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, that my covenant might continue with Levite's descendants, the priests. Ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, might continue. My covenant was with him. And here he reminds them of why he chose them from the beginning. The reasons God separated Phinehas, Aaron, and Dan. My covenant was with him, of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me.
I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me. He walked with me in peace and equity, integrity, and did turn many away from iniquity. He walked with me in peace and integrity, equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. Oh God, give us such men back in our purpose today. Men who will have a reverential fear of God. A reverential fear of the things of God as they handle the things of God. Who will preach uncompromising truth fearlessly, no matter what the consequences on their own lives personally. Who walk with God. First qualification to preach. In integrity and truth. For such men only will God use to turn many away from iniquity. I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and in equity and integrity, and did turn many away from iniquity. Many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. The priest's lips should keep the people knowing truth, no matter what's happening around them. If he's true to God. The priest's lips should keep knowledge. And they should seek the law at his mouth. We want to know what God says. Not man compromising God's word. The priest's lips should keep knowledge. And they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger. He is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi. Verse 9. Ye have been partial in the law. You've withheld, out of fear of man, the full truths of what God's commandments are. You've compromised for fear of what will come upon you in a godless society. You have become cursed. That do the work of the Lord deceitfully. Cursed be he that keepeth his sword from shedding blood. The sword of the Spirit. Preacher, of every single one who dares to stand up with this book will damn your soul if you're not saved and you're lying about it. Satan's servants in God's pulpits. This book will curse those who lie of its contents, who replace its authority, who rejecting the authority, replacing the authority and refraining, holding back, withdrawing, laying down to take up a blunt sword.
The sword of the Spirit has lost its sharp edge in most preachers' preaching. No one writhes who sits in sin under conviction, because they won't preach the law. They won't say, "Thou shalt not." Be not deceived, no unrighteous person shall enter the kingdom of God. Nought that defileth shall enter therein. And then he names the sins. New Testament is all the law. Or man doesn't know he's in trouble. In your church. From your pulpit. Because you are an enemy of God. And if you are saved, the tragedy of this escalation and throng of preachers worldwide who are crying out fearlessly, rejecting the authority of this holy book, replacing the authority of book, and now you're in the minority, aren't you? And so, what are you doing? Compromising out of fear of man? Withholding? Restraining? The authority God gave you. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord, Nick. Deceitfully cursed be he that withholdeth the sword, that keepeth the sword from blood. Timothy was compelled in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2 is a chapter specifically written for preachers, not just for Timothy, but for every single one of us who dare to take up this authority. That's why James says, "Be not many masters, teachers of the oracles of God, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." So, Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, Paul cries out earnestly to this young man of integrity, a young faithful evangelist and preacher. There's no man like him that handles the word of God with such authority and liberty as Timothy. Paul said of him, "No man I have like this." But he warned him. He warned him to earnestly seek God for protection from any influence from erroneous, heretical, compromising preaching or preachers. And how does he tell him to deal with that? Firstly, verse 15, study, Timothy, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, as so many are going to be. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, not deceitfully, but with integrity and no fear of man, a fearless, uncompromising declaration and exposition of this book, of the contents of God's word. But then he goes on, and he warns them of erroneous, heretical preachers and their influence. He must protect himself, diligently seek. That's how, mainly, he will protect himself, is not to listen to the voices of men as they change in their biased views that take away the authority of God's word and replace with all sorts of doctrines that sound so eloquent and learned and scholarly. But they miss the sharp edge! You speak about regeneration, but when did you last say the word repentance? And that flows right into the evangelicals. Not these open enemies of God. Worldwide today, in their fear of the repercussions of preaching uncompromising truth fearlessly. He cries out to this young, godly, earnest, upright man of integrity who is a preacher, who every breath in his body wants to declare the word of God to the world. He cries out, "Protect yourself, Timothy, from these erroneous, heretical, compromising, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus." Their word, he says, in verse 18, will eat as doth a canker. Have you ever seen someone with cancer that you love? He looks at Timothy and says, "This is going to happen to you spiritually." Or do you think he plays the fool with words because of your pet doctrines?
Their word will eat as doth a canker. If you allow yourself to listen too long, you'll be affected by it. Or fearful of it, no matter who it is preaching. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, have departed, literally, from truth. Then he says in verse 20, Timothy, listen carefully here. In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. And some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. If a man therefore purge himself from what? The context, the influences of erroneous, heretical, but especially compromising priests, preachers, handling the word of God deceitfully. Compromising. If a man keeps himself from being influenced, continually cleanses his mind out by soaking himself in the word of God and rejecting any influence, no matter how separated and ostracized he is or excommunicated by hypocrites. Be he an archbishop or professor, doesn't matter. If a man somehow protects himself from this, ever influencing his preaching, Timothy, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Watch what God does, though the world hates you. I'm talking about the world and the church. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Timothy, if the iron be blunt, Ecclesiastes 10 verse 10, if the axe head is blunted, and he do not whet the edge, W-H-E-T, the old language, he does not stop to sharpen it, then shall he put to the more strength his efforts. Useless. No matter how hard he tries to do something for God, nothing will be accomplished. But wisdom is profitable to direct. If you're wise, preacher, and the edge is blunted, and you've laid down the sharp edge that's no longer from your lips of the sword of the Spirit which pierces, and you don't draw blood because you fear of offending man, you let them go to hell. You fear of losing their tithing, you let them go to hell. You need to lay down your life before God and seek Him desperately, if you have any wisdom at all, to make you a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, or will you die a liar or a compromising liberal, fearful of man? Levite. Let's bow before God, please. Father, take this message, brought in weakness, but brought with a burning, crushed, broken heart, and a fearful heart of what is happening, not only to the open enemies who openly expose themselves as the enemies of God, but those under the banner of Christianity who seem to think they're doing right by replacing the Word of God, its preeminence, its authority, for further revelations. It's not good enough, the revelations there, we need more to give anybody any interest in us. And those who are saved in the true church of Christ in this compromising generation, who are restraining the word of God in fear of all the voices that are crying out in pulpits across the world, even in their own denominations,
undermining this book. They no longer preach truth fearlessly. Ye are no longer valiant for the truth. Ye are no longer men who hazard their lives for the gospel's sake, as they did in the old days. And the result, the tragic repercussions across the true Church of Christ, is devastating compromise because of the preaching. And if the salt have lost its savour, if the salt of the earth, the light of the world, has lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing. Christ said, God manifest in the flesh said, if this ever happens to the salt, they're good for nothing in my hands, but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men, which I believe has literally happened across the whole world today by the unsaved who just look at us in disgust. At our hypocrisies and deceitfulness. Help us, God, that if the iron now is blunt, the axe head is dull, help us not to go on with our labors doing nothing of eternal value, just doing damage, both to God's people and to the unsaved. To lay our lives on the altar of God, to seek God to take us up and sanctify us. And help us to seek thee for cleansing from any compromise, any influence by erroneous, heretical, compromising preaching and preachers, even if they're in the masses now. To purge ourselves from these, that we may be a vessel unto honour, not to dishonour, as so many are in this great work of God. In Jesus Christ's name, and for his kingdom, for his sake, he who shed his blood for all men, and God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent because of that. And heaven help the preacher who doesn't preach that, through bias, sophisticated, highfalutin doctrinal standpoints. And they'll defend the doctrine and lose the souls. They have so little truth in them. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, beloved, I thank you for allowing me to preach what most people would have crucified me in most pulpits today. Halfway through. Don't doubt that. The Word of God.